conversation number 38-63 and conversation number 38-64, portion of a telephone conversation between the President, the White House operator, and Henry E. Peterson. This portion was recorded on April 15, 1973, between 11:45 and 11:53 p.m.
Hello.
Peterson on the line, sir.
Yes, sir.
I hope it didn't wake you up.
No, not at all.
I wanted to tell you first, I've got the President of Rotary International at noon tomorrow. Could you make it 1:30?
Yes, sir.
That won't interfere with your lunch or anything.
No.
Fine. Second, I met with Dean. I got him in finally and heard his story. And I said, put him directly to him. Now, when do you want to resign? And he said, well, I'll resign. But he said, I would prefer to wait until I have testified. Now, I want to ask your judgment on that. I can bring him in the morning and tell him, look, I want your resignation, but what do you want me to do? I don't want to interfere with your process.
Mr. President, I don't think that we ought to
tip our hand.
Act yet. He's the first one who's really come in.
Oh, I see.
So he came in a week ago Sunday.
Right. Well, let me say this. The main thing, Henry, we must not have any question now on this. You know, I'm in charge of this thing. You are, and I am,
yes,
above everything else. And I'm following it every inch of the way, and I don't want any question of the fact that I'm way ahead of the, you know, I want to stay one step ahead of the curve. You know what I mean?
I understand.
So if you think on Dean.
I think we ought to hold the line.
All right. And you'll let me know.
Yes, sir. Indeed.
As soon as, and then I'll call him in. Naturally, you'll have to resign.
Yes, sir.
Now, Haldeman and Ehrlichman, I have informed both of them of the charges that have been, you know, generally made.
Yes.
And I have said if they stand up, and they, of course, I didn't have to say it. They said, well, of course we will. We'll have to. We don't want to be an embarrassment. They're good guys. But my feeling with both of them is, I mean, it's only a question, and we talked today of when. I mean, when? Oh, not just weather also, but I think you've got to hear both. Well, you've got to hear Strawn, and I think you've got to hear Dean. And then I suppose you would want to hear them, or do you think we should move on them before, or do you want to think of that overnight?
We'd like to wait. We'd like to wait, Mr. President.
Because like today, you were suggesting that we should call them all in and have them resign, you see, so I just want to be sure you didn't think I should do that, because I'm perfectly prepared to.
Well, you know, that's really your judgment. I think ultimately that's going to have to be done.
Yeah, but your point is that as far as the case is concerned, you're telling me now that it's best to wait. Is that
on
the point?
Dean and yes, and on Ehrlichman, Haldeman, I suppose until we hear their testimony, which is, and we want to put them off until we can fashion
all the others
items into a pattern.
How soon would that be that you, for my own planning, about a week?
I don't think it's going to be less than a week, and I would say 2 weeks or more.
Oh, you think it might be 2 weeks?
I would say so, yes, sir.
Take that long? Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid so, because it's...
Well, by that time, my view is the damn thing will leak out, and I, well, be that as it may, we'll see.
Conceivable.
Why don't you and I talk about that tomorrow?
We will.
And we'll look over the Haldeman Ehrlichman thing to see what the facts are, and maybe you could give me a little sheet of paper on both as to what you feel their vulnerabilities are, so that I can. Could you do that?
I'm trying to, yes, sir.
I mean, just say for these reasons, etc., and then I'll be in a position to act on them.
Very good.
You understand? They will. There's any problem with of course not with Dean, and neither Haldeman or Ehrlichman. They're perfectly prepared to do whatever I say at a moment's notice because they put the office first. But the only thing I'm concerned about is in the prosecution of a case like this, it may be that if you have them move, it may have an effect on some of the others you're trying to get. That's, I know what you're trying to get to testify. I don't know, but
that's certainly true with Dean.
Certainly true with Dean.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And
of course, he's in a mood to resign right now, but I'll see. We'll hot check him tomorrow.
For you. All right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Haldeman Ehrlichman, then you say we'll talk about it tomorrow. You want to think about it?
I want to think about it some more, yes, sir, because I think we're going to have to weave all of the facts with respect to them into a pattern. It's not going to come out neat and clean and clear. Surgical with respect to either one of them.
Because in both cases, they have a, basically in both of their cases, as I look at the thing, since it's basically the obstruction of justice case for the most part, and with the possibility of all of them knowledge, although that's questionable, but you have to hear it drawn before you decide that. But that's a matter which is going to involve your hearing them to what they know, I suppose, as well as we're hearing the others.
Well, I think that's right, and I think with respect to the obstruction of justice thing is concerned, it's easy for me to see how they fell into that, if you like.
Rather than being directly conspirators.
That's right.
And there's a difference in that respect,
I suppose. That's right, and the difference at least in moral culpability.
Sure, motive.
In terms of ultimate embarrassment, I think the
embarrassment is there, but in terms of, basically in terms of motive, which might be legal culpability.
Yes, sir.
They might be off, but in terms of embarrassment, they'd have to be out of the government.
Yes, sir.
I get your point. And frankly, either one is enough. I understand that totally.
Sure.
Because that was what was involved in the Adams case, as you recall.
Yes.
He was not legally guilty of a damn thing. Well, he might have been, I suppose, making the telephone call if they'd ever brought him to trial. But because of the possibility, we had to move on him. Well, in any event, I'm glad to get your view on it. But I wanted you to know, having talked to Dean and told him to wait, I wanted to be sure you know that I had told him to wait. Because, I had agreed with him that I would not wait. I would not do it until I heard from him. But let me say I'm going to wait till I hear from you then on Dean. Is that fair enough?
Fine, yes, sir.
And you would probably hear him Monday or Tuesday tomorrow? Oh, you don't know yet?
We don't know yet, no. It's not going to be that quick because we're going to have Strawn, LaRue, and
right.
Brian.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What about Magruder?
It's Monday and Tuesday.
What about Magruder? You have to get him in there someplace, don't you?
Well, we've had him in, and we have to get his testimony in before the grand jury, and we're trying to work out with his whether or not, you know,
he'll come in and play guilty, so you can... Because it seems to me that your idea of getting him on and pleading guilty and beating the damn press and the Irvin Committee to it is an effort, very good one. Otherwise, you know, somebody, they're going to say they forced you to do it. And that's
right.
Very important if you're going to, don't you agree?
Those negotiations are underway with his counsel now, and
good.
Obviously they're very much afraid of Sirica. They're afraid Sirica's going to clap you in jail immediately.
Oh.
We have to see Sirica too.
No, Sirica's got to see the point of this. My goodness. Because the point is that Sirica's got to realize he's getting bigger fish.
That's right. Yes, sir.
That right?
That's it, exactly.
Okay. All right. Good luck.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you for calling, Mr. President.
This concludes the Abuse of Government Power segments for conversation number 38-63 and conversation number 38-64.